This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. A new UC class focuses on the needs of an aging population. But first, there's a new Cincinnati initiative to support older adults called the Golden Cincinnati Initiative. City Council member P.G. Sittenfeld pushed for the program, which was unanimously approved by council. The city then created a new position, Chief Advocacy Officer for Aging and Accessibility, and hired Jonathan Lonizak to fill that role. And Jonathan and P.G. join us now, and good afternoon to both of you.
Mark, it's great to be with you. You've already overcome your first challenge of pronouncing Lonizak. So.
But I couldn't get through the title very well.
The title's
a bit of a mouthful too, but I think the title is a good explanation of what your role is, John. So, And PG, can you give us some context on how this came to be?
Well, so the big picture context I would start out sort of by offering before I get in a little bit of how the Golden Cincinnati Initiative came to be is that today in Hamilton County, right, so our neck of the woods, one in five people are over the age of 60. By 2020, that will be close to one in four. So what you sort of hear people call this is a silver tsunami or a senior tsunami. We are an aging population, and obviously I feel like we need to be prepared for all the implications of that, but also say that our goal as a city should be providing the highest quality of life for, you know, as you said, older adults, aging adults, whatever, senior citizens, whatever term you want to use. So the way that this actually ended up coming about, it is a little bit of a story, and I hope it gives people belief that, you know, leaning on your local elected officials can bring about certain changes, so sometimes more than you might expect. A little over, it's probably now maybe a year and a half ago, I had a series of constituents reach out to me all sort of randomly, it all happened to be in a row, about things where, one, we changed some downtown parking technology, and I had an 80-year-old woman reach out and say, you may think you've improved the technology, but I'm 80 and I'm now a little bit more confused by some of this technology. Had another person reach out and say, there's a crosswalk I have to cross almost, get across almost every day. I flat do not have enough time to get from A to B across the street. And it's at that point, a string of these sort of constituent outreaches, that it started to dawn on me, you know, we have our budget and finance committee and the safety committee, and I oversee the entrepreneurship committee. Issues relative to senior citizens and issues relative to accessibility wasn't tidally in any given sort of space at City Hall. And here, meanwhile, I'm looking at the data around our aging population. This certainly is going to be a big need. So that was kind of the impetus and the prompt for us to, we went up to a conference in Columbus. We partnered with a whole lot of organizations. I want to give a few shout outs here. People Working Cooperatively, Cincinnati Area Senior Services, Council on Aging, Alzheimer's Association, Pro Seniors, Jewish Family Services, and more. We did community forums all across the city in various neighborhoods and really tried to come up with a city-specific agenda. So now John has a lot of expertise in insurance and Medicare, but the one thing I said from the beginning of this Golden Cincinnati Initiative to sort of say what it isn't before we say what it is, look, we are not the state government. We are not the federal government. So we will advocate. We will lobby. We care a lot about things that might happen with Medicare, other issues, but city is really involved in service delivery, in basic infrastructure. How can we put together a list and agenda that improves the day-to-day lives of our senior citizens in that regard? So that's how it came about, and that's where we are.
Well, you mentioned that the Hamilton County's aging population is aging. What's the city's over 65 population? Do we know the specific?
Yeah, I have the data.
I think it's actually higher than the county.
Yeah, I believe it is higher than the county as well. I mean, I know if you look at certain neighborhoods, this is not every neighborhood, but in some neighborhoods, 20% or higher of that neighborhood population is over 65, actually. So it's relatively comparable. But when we're talking about, you know, as a region and as a city too, getting close to one in four folks who are over 60, which isn't even obviously, you know, I think AARP defines senior citizen status even lower than that. So this is coming, and it's something we all need to deal with. And the one thing before passing it back to John or back to you, Mark, is that Jock Pitts, the CEO of People Working Cooperatively, had, in case any millennial, my fellow millennials are tuning out right now, he had a great point that why do we all need to care about this? And Jock Pitts, when we announced our Golden Cincinnati Initiative, said, folks, if you are not a senior citizen today, you aspire to be one someday. And I thought that was so spot on. So that's why we all need to care about this.
John, tell us about the role that you're taking on here.
Sure. Well, it's a great role, and I'd like to thank PG for all of his support, and his office has been very supportive, and the city manager, Harry Black, has been very supportive. And I see this position as doing a lot of things. When I started and went before your committee the first time, I had three full-time jobs, I think I mentioned, and you all reported on that very nicely. Thank you for that. I think I'm up to like six, and I've only been here 4 months. So
we add one a month, Mark.
Yeah, so by the time the year anniversary comes around, there's going to be like 20 or 25.
You'll be at a dozen or more, yeah.
Okay. But for me, the big and most important one is the community outreach, to go out to the community, to meet with the organizations, to meet with individuals, to find out what the community needs and what the neighborhoods need. Because for me, this position all has to be community-driven. This can't be John going out to the neighborhoods and saying, here's what you need, because I don't know what you need. You need to tell me that. And that's why actually on your website, and we'll hand this out later, my phone number and email address are posted there, so you can get in touch with me, let me know what your concerns are, and hopefully we can make city government work for you a little bit better.
And Mark, I would just add to that, I mean, you know, before John Lanizak, before we created through this Golden Cincinnati Initiative the position of Chief Advocacy Officer for Aging and Accessibility for the City of Cincinnati, we did not have, you know, that air traffic control, that singular person whose job is to wake up every day thinking about these issues, thinking about the well-being of our senior population. So having, look, other cities have complete departments and divisions around this. We have one person, John's a one-man army, but the fact that we didn't have that before, clearly there was a vacuum. So we're glad to at least take the steps toward filling that.
PG, if you hadn't gotten these comments from the constituents, would we have gone down this path?
Yeah, I mean, there's a little bit of an irony here. I feel I've got a lot more gray hair than when the voters first sent me to City Hall, but I'm still the youngest person on the council. So being honest with you, this was sort of issues impacting senior citizens weren't necessarily what was crossing my brain, you know, day to day, moment to moment. But again, I would say it's a testament to if people reach out with a certain issue and say, hey, councilman, this is important to me, it kind of gets the wheels spinning. And our job is to be an all purpose problem solver. So the honest answer is if those, three or four constituents all in a row a year and a half ago hadn't reached out with issues that clearly were directly impacting our senior community, I probably would not have gone down this path, but I'm very glad we did.
And Jonathan wouldn't have had the extra
John would still
here.
Be in Tennessee, yeah. You know, Kentucky. Yeah.
Kentucky.
Yeah.
No, but I have a feeling, having gone out and met with a lot of people in the community already, that this would have happened sooner rather than later. I mean, it's an important need that needs to be filled, not just the aging side, too, but the accessibility side.
Yeah, are there other cities, John, that are they're doing similar programs?
There are a lot. Columbus and Cleveland have strong programs moving forward. But there are a lot of cities, actually, that don't even have the one-person shop. I mean, PG mentioned that there are cities that have whole departments about this. That's true. New York City actually has 40 people in their aging department. Of course, they have a lot bigger population. But it's something that's coming. The World Health Organization has created a program to deal with this issue because the population is getting older all across the world. And we need to figure out how we can help people stay in their homes, age in place, have a dignified retirement, and to help people just move around the city properly through solid transportation programs, accessible entryways and curb cuts, and to make sure that our citizens are living the best lives that they can, regardless of their age or their physical condition.
You're part of the city manager's office, correct?
I report directly to the city manager.
How significant is that?
I think it's very significant because it allows me to go out to other city departments and say, hey, this is an important issue. The city manager is concerned about this, and he's actually been very supportive. He's been more enthusiastic about this than I have in some ways. And just to be able to go to people and say, this is an important issue to the city and to the city manager, and so we all need to work on this together to find a better solution and a better answer.
And Mark, I would agree. When I created this position, I thought it was very important that this person be a senior-level person in the city administration whose direct line is to the city manager. So this is something that we are putting in the upper echelons of a priority for the city of Cincinnati. But can I share just a few of the things that are part of the sort of, you know, phase one priorities for
sure,
this Golden
sure.
Cincinnati? Just to give folks put a little meat on the bones for what some of the things that we're talking about here. So we did hear, you know, tons of people talk about pedestrian safety. I mentioned one of that first outreach was just around somebody not having enough time to get across their crosswalk. The Department of Transportation and Engineering has already added, this might not sound like a lot, but half a second to crosswalks across the city as, the population ages. My parents both turned 70 this past year. It takes a little bit of extra time to get across the street when you're 70 than when you might have been 25 years old. So we've also, and this is sort of connected to something else, we allocated an additional $500,000 in the most recent city budget for general pedestrian safety issues. As we renew the city CRA program on the commercial side, what's called universal design. So housing setups that are sort of better for everybody. You can think about things like a first floor bedroom, various handrails throughout, wider hallways that touch accessibility. There are more points incentivizing universal design there as well. Are inventorying and in the process of looking at where do we need more handicapped parking spaces.
Now that's primarily focused on the business districts, right?
Exactly, yeah, primarily on the business districts. But, you know, we don't want somebody either because they have accessibility challenges or because, you know, they're 80 years old and don't move around as easily to not be able to partake in the renaissance that's happening in our city and in our business districts. I won't give you the whole thing, but one more thing.
And we'll go into this some more, too, as this segment goes
along. That we just had a meeting with the city manager about is the implementation of this community paramedicine program through our fire department.
Now explain that. What is community paramedicine?
I know, it's probably too fancy a word. We need to come up with something better. But the community paramedicine program, the basic premise is there are a lot of folks out there who might utilize our emergency response system for what is not actually sort of an acute emergency. So obviously, we want people reaching out to our fire department, to our police department, if someone's burglarizing your home, if a family member's having cardiac arrest. There are also times when people will utilize that system because what actually might be the affliction is loneliness or isolation or obesity or mental health challenges. So what community paramedicine really does is takes the trust and the accessibility that our fire department has and almost sort of puts like a thing of it is like, you know, infuses social work with that. So what we can do is take people who are heavy utilizers of that system, but not necessarily for the reasons that it's designed, and connect them to the resources that they need to actually solve what is the core problem. So if there are mental health challenges, if, you know, isolation is an issue, there are folks other than, you know, a medic from the fire department that might be able to solve the problem. So that's encompassed under the Golden Cincinnati
Or if an
issue.
Urgent care might be better than an emergency room, that's another decision that might be made.
Exactly. So, and the one thing, even though I only covered, you know, a portion of the list, we see that as Golden Cincinnati 1.0. 2.0 is in the hands of the community. John just said his number one job, to be there, to be a resource, to be accessible. So we welcome people's thoughts, feedback, and questions.
And we welcome your questions and comments at 513-419-7100. You can email talk@wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook and or Twitter. And we'll continue our conversation about the Golden Cincinnati Initiative after this. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. We're talking about the Golden Cincinnati Initiative with Councilmember P.G. Sittenfeld and Cincinnati's new Chief Advocacy Officer for Aging and Accessibility, Jonathan Lonizak. And you can join us at 513-419-7100. You can email talk@wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. John, what led you to this job? Tell us about your background.
Well, that's a great question. It's kind of a long story, so I'll try to make it short so we have time to get some callers. That'd be great. I started out as a congressional aide working on interests of importance to seniors and persons with disability. Went to work as a lobbyist for a senior citizens organization in D.C., handling health care, Older Americans Act, things like that. And then from there, went to work for a couple of other health care organizations handling their portfolio. I actually ended up at a job in Lexington, Kentucky, as the executive director of the National Association of State Treasurers. After about 3-4 years of that, I started a consulting firm to help not-for-profits build capacity. My wife then got a job at Cincinnati Children's in October, and since she moved to Lexington for my job, I moved to Cincinnati for hers, and she also kind of suggested that perhaps a more stable paycheck would be in order. And when I saw this job, it was terrific. It was everything I've been doing in my career, from community building to advocacy to working with the diverse population. So I was thrilled about it and happy to apply and thrilled when I got the position. And I am like the luckiest guy in Cincinnati. And I wake up every day feeling that.
You know, people age 60 and over, you mentioned diverse. That's a diverse population. There are people who are healthy. There are people who are not so healthy. People with disabilities and people who are just fine health-wise. How do you address the different needs of each of those groups? How are you going to approach that?
Well, it is a diverse population, and people will find, you know, when they're 50, they're feeling great, they're feeling energized, they're just feeling at the prime of their lives, but by the time they're 80, they may have some type of disability, they may have problems seeing, they may have problems hearing, they may have mobility issues, but we also have a very diverse population of persons with disability in this community, too, that live this every day. And so it's important that we take this look that the PG had talked about in phase one, as it were, but also think ahead as to how we're going to do this. The city manager asked me to put together a three-year plan, so I'm working on that. I hope to have that ready in the next couple of weeks. But I've been talking to people in the community about what the plan should be and what it should look like. And it's important.
Mark, just one thing I would add, given John Lanizek's sort of deep federal background and familiarity, you know, I've had sometimes have constituents reach out to me with a passport issue. And I say, well, that's actually, I don't do passports at City Hall. But what I can do is I can connect you to one of our senator's office or congressional member's office, and they can help you. So one thing I would encourage folks is, you know, even though the city is not necessarily engaged in federal issues outside of advocacy and a sort of affirming our position, that doesn't mean John or myself can't still be resources relative to navigating what can sometimes be complicated systems at the federal and state level.
Well, and that's actually an important point that he brings up, because people have called my office. People have actually stopped in, and they can have a problem. I've helped people with issues in terms of their nursing home. They've had concerns about the owners. I've helped people stay in their homes. And so while I don't do casework, I can connect people to the resources that they need and help them out that way. So if you have an issue, give me a call. The number is, again, on the website, and if you need it,
go ahead and give it.
I'll give it out. It's 513-352-5361. And hopefully remind me at the end of the show, I'll give it out again so people have a chance to get a pen.
And we should say this is a much smoother process than the last time I included John's direct office number in an op-ed and then told him after the fact. So now he's doing it voluntarily. Much, much better.
513-419-7100 to join us. And let's talk to Judy. Hi, Judy.
Hi. I want to talk about how stupid city planning has been to put across the street from where I live, which is a retirement community, on a short dead-end street, a huge apartment building, which is under construction as we speak. Both the driveways empty onto our street, so a huge amount of traffic will be coming out in the morning and back in the evening. We get first response here several times a week. I don't know how this is going to be managed, and whoever decided that this was a good idea to put this huge construction across the street from our place, where there are older people who like to walk out, and it's just going to be a mess. It's going to be cause real hardship and possibly even injury and death because of this traffic situation that is going to happen. And somebody at City Hall Planning really screwed up.
Judy, let's let PG address this.
Yeah, sure. Well, Judy, I we might not necessarily be able to solve this over the air, but I welcome you reaching out directly to John, or my direct number is 352-5270. So, look, I think you've actually spoken to a lot of the challenges and frustrations that as we went all across the city, by far the two biggest things that people talked about, and I think they're included in both of the comments you just made, were transportation and aging in place. People still want to be able to get around the city, whether it's to a doctor's appointment or to the grocery store or do recreational things, and they want to be able, you know, by and large, they want to be able to stay in their home and have that continue to be accessible for them. So you sort of touched upon several of those issues. Another component of our plan has to do with zoning and incorporating the senior-friendly universal design elements into Cincinnati's land development code. So I will, you know, feel free to reach out to me directly offline or directly to John, and we'll try and troubleshoot your problem.
And just to add to that briefly, I mentioned that I have like six or seven jobs. One of my jobs is to indeed serve as a coordinator within City Hall,
right,
between departments. Right. And the thought is that we need to get to the point where department heads and people, when they're developing new programs and services or whatever, bring me in at the beginning so that we can add these issues at the start of the conversation rather than kind of jury-rig them in at the end.
So, Mark, it's a great point, and I think somewhat related to what Judy said of, I think sometimes, you know, with the best of intentions, the city will do things, and it tries to think about a lot of its end users and a lot of its stakeholders, but it doesn't always get everybody. So one of the things that I included personally, you know, a lot of the Golden Cincinnati Initiative agenda was community-driven, but obviously I was in part of all these conversations, so I recommended a number of the things myself, was having basically a vetting committee so that you have actual senior citizens in our community who are saying, well, this is how that could impact us. And go back to the very first example I gave, an 80-year-old woman who said, you did what seemed intuitive, making our parking system more technologically sort of advanced, and it made it more complicated for me to use. Now, having her say that at the beginning, maybe the outcome is the same, but at least we're then hearing those voices. So having that sort of vetting committee, another key part of all of this.
And this kind of goes to a question we got from Peter by email, who says that several parking kiosks have replaced the meters, and the screens are often very tough to read, and they're at different heights. So he's wondering, how do you address that?
Such a good example, and again, so much of this has to do with transportation issues, but another thing that the city is in the process of doing is as new signage comes online, and I might get this wrong, John, it's either proven that as people's eyes age, it's either harder to read all capital letters or it's easier to read in all capital. I can't remember which is which. So, of course, the city is saying, well, you know, as people, you know, as their eyes get older, we want them to still be able to see the various, you know, the tons of signage all across the city, on the streets especially. So replacing stuff like that, it sounds so simple. But, boy, if you can't read a given sign and you're behind the wheel, it makes all the difference.
Again, 513-419-7100. If you'd like to join us, let's talk to Ken now. Hi, Ken.
Hello, how are you doing?
Good, thank you.
Good. So my question is in regards to the aging citizens and the younger generation getting ready to not want to drive if and when these self-driven vehicles, like with Uber, are we going to have to where the odometer, maybe there's a tax on that to cover, say, public transit or to cover the roads? Could it also be less people that hold a driver's license in the near future? And are we doing anything in Cincinnati to get ahead of that?
Yeah, so interesting question. Ken, thank you very much for calling in. I'll take the first shot at that. I can't speak right now to an odometer tax. It's not something I've thought a whole lot about, and I think we're probably not there yet. I will say the city, and this goes outside of issues of aging and accessibility, has done a ton of things to be more multimodal, to be a city where people aren't relying on an automobile if they either can't afford one or choose not to have one. Specifically relative to autonomous vehicles, look, I think that's going to reshape so much of what society, of how society functions. And I do think there are infrastructure and sort of legal parameters that the city can do to get ahead of, to be ready for that. One more near-term thing I thought of, you know, Mark, you and others, I think a lot of people are getting used to sort of using ride-sharing systems like Uber and Lyft. Again, going back to my folks who turned 70 years old, I'll sometimes still have my father call and say, PG, can you, from where you are, you know, he might
Did your dad give you any advice on putting this together, by the way?
He gives me more advice than I seek, let's say. But he'll say, PG, you know, can you get me an Uber from where you are? And we might be in a different city at that given point. So, you know, not every person has a smartphone and uses his technologies natively. So one of the things we reached out to Uber and to Lyft to see if some partnerships were available there. It wasn't advanced enough to get into Golden Cincinnati 1.0, but things like that, we want to be creative in sort of Golden Cincinnati 2.0.
Let's talk to Heather. Hi, Heather.
Hi. My question was, I know last year there was $100,000 a year that went towards, in the city budget, towards ADA compliance. But this year's city budget reduced that to $9,000. Are there any discussions on bringing that back up to $100,000, or is that something else?
So John's got the expertise here, but I'll, since it's a budgetary question taken, let me start by just saying to Heather was an instrumental participant in so many of the conversations, especially bringing her expertise to the accessibility side of this conversation, with it, which is under John's portfolio. And Heather, I absolutely think that those funds need to be restored. As you know, Councilmember Flynn, even though we're going to lose him soon as he doesn't cease his time in public service but does leave the city council this year, he's been doing a whole lot of legislation and initiatives that are a bit more focused on sort of accessibility things, which will fall under John's umbrella. So I think those funds need to be restored. And honestly, Heather, I'll go back and check on what the backstory was on why that unfolded, because I think it happened a little bit under the radar.
Yeah, now Heather brings up a very important issue. I mean, another job that I have is serving now as a citywide ADA coordinator. And it's an important position. We want to make sure that the city is in full compliance with the ADA and that, again, the city is accessible to all of our citizens. And so in order to do that, to bring facilities up to shape and to bring programs into compliance, you need resources to do that. And so it's critical.
And let me just bluntly say that there is enormous room for improvement when it comes to the city's ADA compliance. Obviously, you know, it does take resources for implementation, and I think sometimes the federal government says, hey, here's a law, but they're actually not doing much on the enforcement side. But we shouldn't be waiting around for the enforcement. We should do it because it's the right thing to do and because it is the law.
And PG, tell us, how is the CGI being funded? Or I should say GCI.
Yeah, I was going to say you
got the initials backwards there. So, you want to do that, but how is it being funded?
So I'm proud to say that so far we've been able to do this in basically a budget neutral way. So because this was deemed such a big priority that was not being attended to, working with the city manager, we repurposed what was then a vacant position in the recreation department to be able to create this senior level person under the city manager. So, you know, sort of first things first for the Golden Cincinnati initiative was getting John, establishing his office, then hiring someone. And we went through a competitive process to hire him. We're right now with a community paramedicine program, since there could be some actually relief to some of our local emergency rooms. We're working with some of the local hospitals to see about funding there. Other things in the Department of Transportation and Engineering relative to the implementation of more handicap spaces or retinkering some of our crosswalks, some of that's baked into their budget. So a big part of how I at least wanted to launch this was in a way that was budget neutral, and so far that's been the case. So this was not some big new price tag for taxpayers whatsoever.
Right, and it's critical and important, too, that, again, needing to have the community involvement in this. We're clearly looking for partnerships and people that we can work with in order to just move this whole process forward.
And so you're saying you're open to more input?
We depend upon it and we seek it. Input is what got us this Golden Cincinnati initiative in the first place. I took the feedback I got and ran with it. We now have someone that can, you know, receive that input full time. Just one other thing on the budget, Mark. I mentioned $500,000 in pedestrian safety for pedestrian safety sort of causes. That was also no new dollars. That was reallocated from elsewhere in the city budget. So I think the biggest thing we've done is affirm that as our community ages, as we address challenges related to accessibility, we're going to make this a top priority so that Cincinnati, we can hopefully a few years down the road say, this is one of the best places in the country to grow old.
Okay, so what's coming up in version 2.0? Where are we headed with this?
Well, so there have been, I mentioned a possible partnership with ride-sharing entities. We've had conversations with the UC School of Nursing. I mean, there are a lot of different ways to go, but I would reiterate what John said and say, we leave that to the community. We've come up with 9 policy pillars. We have hired a chief advocacy officer in the city administration. We've got the framework. Folks, fill it, and you help us take 2.0 to the next level.
Yeah. And John?
Well, I think one thing that we're going to look at doing in the relatively near future is to do a community-wide survey so that we can get as much buy-in and information from as many people out there as we possibly can. I mean, we just don't want to hear from handfuls of people here or there. We want to hear from the entire community of Cincinnati on this.
Yeah. Give your phone number again.
Okay. So hopefully everybody's had time to get a pen by now. And so you can
and if not, it's on our website.
It's on the website. Yep. And as is my email address, if you're more comfortable communicating that way. But the number is 513-352-5361.
Okay. PG and Jonathan, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having us in, Mark.
Thank you.
Appreciate
it. Great.
Councilmember P.G. Sittenfeld and Cincinnati's new Chief Advocacy Officer for Aging and Accessibility, Jonathan Lonizak. And coming up, a new UC class puts the focus on the needs and experiences of older adults. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU.